Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 11:30 p.m. on the East Coast. It is 8:30 on the West Coast. And this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Ace Diamond, and tonight we've got a full show. We've got a lot to talk about. I've got a lot of things I want to discuss. First of all, I just want to say, for anybody who didn't be in 30 for 30 on Ric Flair, find it on your DVR. Record it and make sure you watch it, because I said I was going to rate it. I said I was going to give it, I was going to start the new diamond system tonight, and I have to give it 5 diamonds. It was amazing. There were funny moments, there were sad moments. I'm not going to lie, I teared up a few times, especially when he was talking about his deceased son, Reed. That kind of hit me hard. But talking about his career, things I never knew, talking about his career and his life, he was teammates on the University of Minnesota football team with Greg Gagne, former AWA world champion and son of legendary, also former AWA world champion and former AWA promoter, Vern Gagne, who trained Ric Flair. One of the students in his first wrestling class, which he quit and then was talked into going right back to, was Ricky Steamboat. I think everybody knows that Ric Flair was injured in a plane crash in 1975, where he broke his back in 3 places. The fact that he was ever able to walk again after that is amazing. The fact that he was able to become one of the greatest professional wrestler ever in the world is simply miraculous. During his rehab, he lost 80 pounds. He went from, I believe he said, 265 pounds down to 185 pounds, which, that's a lot of weight to lose. And to get back into any kind of shape after that that takes a lot of hard work. He won his first world title in Kansas City. They never say Kansas City, Kansas or Kansas City, Missouri. But I digress on that. On September 17th, 1981, from the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. That match is a classic. I've seen video of it. He claims, and he says this is realistically, claims to have been with 10,000 women in his lifetime. That's quite a bit of women, and if that's the truth, then more power to him. Claims that during his career, starting in 1972, he drank at least 10 drinks a day throughout his entire career and beyond, which nearly killed him, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but it nearly killed him. Well, unfortunately, that he nearly died. I am glad that he did not, because that would have been a major loss for the world of professional wrestling. He joined the World Wrestling Federation for the first time in late 1991 or very early 1992. My dates are kind of foggy on that one. Joined Total Nonstop Action Wrestling in 2010, 2 years after his retirement match with Shawn Michaels, which is still one of the top five professional wrestling matches of all time, in my opinion. Again, lost his youngest son, Reed, to a drug overdose of pills, alcohol, and black tar heroin in March of 2013 at the age of 25. Of course, is the father of Charlotte Flair, one of the greatest women's wrestlers currently in the world. But that's just a brief review of the 30 for 30 I said I was going to do. Now we're going to go backwards a little bit, and we're going to review SmackDown. And I'm going to go backwards. In my opinion, the WWE Championship match tonight on SmackDown, psychology-wise, was one of the best matches in a very long time. And, of course, brand new WWE champion is AJ Styles. So AJ Styles now, not Jinder Mahal, will go on to Survivor Series to face Brock Lesnar. And personally, I think that's going to be a 10 times better match than Jinder Mahal and Brock Lesnar would have had. I would have liked to have seen Brock Lesnar destroy Jinder Mahal, but I think Brock Lesnar versus Styles is going to be a much, much better match than Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar would be. So I'm glad that match took place, and I'm glad AJ was able to take the win. In the SmackDown Live Tag Team Title match, Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable defeated the Usos by countout when Jey Uso apparently injured his leg and is unable to answer the referee's 10 count. James Ellsworth faced Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch, as she is known to do, made James Ellsworth tap out. And after the match, when Carmella came into the ring and looked like she was going to fight Becky, she actually turned on James Ellsworth and super kicked him, whether that is a permanent breakup or they will be buddy-buddy again next week, remains to be seen. Also, after Jinder Mahal lost the WWE title to AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal proceeded to both Singh brothers, which really, no shock there. Rusev versus Randy Orton. If Rusev won, he would have earned a spot on the SmackDown team for Survivor Series. However, Randy Orton, with an RKO out of nowhere, defeated Rusev in what was a fairly good match. I've seen better from both, but it was, and I've seen better from the two of them together, but it was actually a very good match. To open the show, Shane McMahon came out, called the New Day to the ring, was discussing the previous night on Raw, which, if you missed Raw, New Day came out during the Raw Tag Team Championship match and ended up costing the Shield, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, the Raw Tag Team titles to Cesaro and Sheamus, with the entire Raw roster at ringside, fearing another siege by SmackDown. But anyway, back to the New Day celebration with Shane. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens came out, complained about not being on, well, didn't really complain, so they didn't want to be on Team SmackDown because they don't believe in the SmackDown versus Raw fight. So Shane decided that if they wanted to fight tonight, he was going to put Sami Zayn in a one-on-one match with Kofi Kingston. Another very good match. Very athletic. Kofi had some very innovative offense, some of which I don't think I've ever seen before. Kofi wins. Kevin Owens attacks Kofi after the match. Xavier Woods and Big E run off Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But back to Raw, like I said, new Raw Tag Team Champions, Sheamus and Cesaro. Now, if the SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions versus the Raw Tag Team Champions, that is a heel versus heel match. The Usos versus Sheamus and Cesaro. The Intercontinental title versus the U.S. title is heel versus heel, Miz versus Baron Corbin. I don't really get why. The women's champions match, SmackDown Live Women's Champion Natalya versus Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss, is heel versus heel. Don't get why. Right now, the only match that is not heel versus heel is AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar. That is the only champion versus champion match that is not heel versus heel. And if Jinder Mahal had retained, that match would be heel versus heel. I don't understand the booking or the writing, the creative process in those matches. And I would love for somebody to try to explain the reasoning. And I get that it's for brand supremacy, but at least make the booking, at least make the writing make sense. But I digress. That's my mini rant for the night. I do want to discuss TLC due to injury, well, due to illness, which was a viral infection that swept across the Raw locker room, which took down Roman Reigns, JoJo, Bray Wyatt, and Bo Dallas. There were some changes to the TLC card, which included Kurt Angle wrestling for the first time in 11 years. First time in a WWE ring in 11 years, I should say. Because everybody knows he went to TNA for a lot of years. Also, and that match ended up being a 5-on-3 handicap match, which saw Kane turn on his tag team partner, Braun Strowman, and that team of The Miz, Kane, Sheamus, and Cesaro throw Braun Strowman into a garbage truck. And then 8 days later, Braun Strowman showed up in the back, climbing out of the back of a garbage truck. Different colored garbage truck, by the way. People should stay consistent when writing storylines like that, but again, I digress. And Braun Strowman went after The Miz. Last night, Kane came after Braun Strowman, and it would appear that they are heading for a showdown in the very near future. Also, we had a guitar on a pole match. Yes, you heard that right. Guitar on a pole match. Elias versus Jason Jordan. The rules were a bit simple. Use the guitar, win the match. It was that simple. Elias got the guitar down, swung, missed, swung again, missed again. They probably dropped the guitar about 6 times during the match. Jason Jordan finally was able to get the guitar with Elias's back turned and absolutely explode the guitar over Elias's back to pick up the win. Another match I want to talk about from TLC, which was caused by the viral infection outbreak, was another unplanned match, one that had absolutely no build-up, but to say it delivered, I believe, would be an understatement. AJ Styles versus Finn Balor, two guys who have been all over the world, been in New Japan, two guys who know what they're doing, and they absolutely knocked it out of the park, in my opinion. To me, that match at TLC to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Randy Savage at WrestleMania 3. Everybody was there to see one match. At WrestleMania 3, it was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. At TLC, it was the 5-on-3 handicap match. But AJ and Finn, much like Savage and Steamboat at WrestleMania 3, at TLC, Styles and Balor stole the freaking show. If I had been scheduled to go on after that match, I don't know if I would have been able to go out and perform, because I would have been in such awe of that match. Now I want to get to War Games. War Games was last held in 1998 in a major promotion. I'm sure independent promotions, probably nationwide, possibly worldwide, have held it, a War Games type match. But in a major worldwide promotion, War Games was last held in 1998. Three teams of three. NWO Hollywood, NWO Wolfpack, and WCW. For a shot at Goldberg's WCW Championship, a match that was won by Diamond Dallas Page. And now this November the 18th, I want to say it is. Yes, it's the 18th, November the 18th. NXT TakeOver War Games in Houston, Texas. Three teams of three. Sanity. Feuded Era. And the Authors of Pain. And Roderick Strong. Will face each other. In War Games. Two rings, surrounded by a cage. Two men start. Every 2 minutes, another man enters, or some interval of time. I'm not sure exactly what the interval will be at the time. But the fact that they're doing this match makes me extremely happy. The fact that Roderick Strong is teaming with the Authors of Pain completely confuses me. I mean, I get that the Authors of Pain have issues with Sanity, issues with the Undisputed Era, and Roderick Strong has an issue with the Undisputed Era, but the team with the Authors of Pain, to me, that makes no sense. Also, on that card, just announced tonight, actually. You will see Johnny Gargano to win the WWE United Kingdom Championship. I always want to say tournament when it comes to that title. You will see Johnny Gargano face Pete Dunne, who also just made his debut on Raw and debuted on 205 Live tonight, apparently, because I have not watched 205 Live yet. So Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, will be facing Pete Dunne for the United Kingdom Championship. Andrade Cien Almas will be facing Drew McIntyre for the NXT Championship. And there will be a fatal four-way for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. Kairi Sane, one of the iconic duo. I honestly can't remember which one, and really doesn't matter, because when one's there, they're both going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. Kairi Sane, who won the Mae Young Classic, and I just drew a blank on her name. The crazy girl from Sanity. Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is her name. Why I blanked on her name, I have absolutely no idea. But that right there is a stacked card. And that's not even all the matches. But I digress. I'm rambling. We are a little under 2 weeks from NWF Hall of Fame, the anniversary show. Check it out. Heroes and Legends in Fort Wayne, Indiana, this coming Saturday. Check that out. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Ace Diamond. Have a good night, everybody.